access the Ivikupuna site, and we saw what appeared to be a hose coming out from the cesspool that they had done, and so there's a sewage coming out. Yeah, from a pump going into Awai, leading into the ocean. And we were shocked by seeing that. It's very close to the ocean, like very close to Ivikupuna. And it was an immediate concern to us. We did reach out to many departments, DOH, SHPD. We reached out to DoCare. We reached out to whoever we could find that would be responsible for taking care of that sort of situation. And we didn't get too many responses. A lot of them was, you know, COVID crisis, and it was on a Friday, so they would have to respond on a Monday. So we kind of were at a standstill about what happened. HPD did show up, and they did ask Kulo Ranch's employee to unplug the pump and remove it from the area of what it was doing. And then there was a halt on that. So
Monday, we sent an email directly to John Morgan and Kualoa Ranch, basically explaining the situation and asking that they like halt construction until wastewater and clean water could come out and do an investigation, and until SHPD could come out and do a site visit and actually put in place like a buffer zone or some kind of protection around the historic sites and the burial sites, because we literally were being stuck having to protect those areas still after, you know, this has been presented over and over again that those are really significant sites that we didn't want to be dug up or
impacted
with the work being done on the property. So we had sent an email, and we also sent the email because wastewater did a site visit on that Monday and stated that that cesspool had collapsed when the excavator was digging the hole. The lid of the cesspool fell in and collapsed the entire cesspool. So wastewater said that that cesspool couldn't be reattached. It had to be closed up. So we were requesting that they don't reattach it.
And so, I mean, when it collapsed, it took out a bunch of layers of brick. With cesspool, you build it with brick, little gap. So it was pretty clear that water was coming above that brick closure line, and it was immediately seeping into the ground with no barrier, just into the ground.
Yeah, so by Tuesday, the plumber spoke to the neighbors because he was really worried. He was asked to dig more trenching around the cesspool area and around the houses to put in new piping, and he really didn't want to do that because he had heard that the Ohanas and the community was having issues with that, that they didn't want digging done on the property. And so he reached out and asked about the trenching and digging, and if it would be okay if he did that digging. He was advised that it probably wouldn't be, especially because SHPD hadn't done their site visit yet, but also because the cesspool itself wasn't supposed to be reattached based on what wastewater said. And so if they do reattach it, the plumber might be liable for that.
Yeah, so what wastewater has said is that when you disconnect the grandfathered pipe, then it's no longer in use. So that became like a stop in itself, that it couldn't be reattached to begin with.
So the plumber let us know that he told Kualoa Ranch that he won't be doing any more trenching. He refused to do any more digging or bring in machines to do digging, because he didn't want to be liable for any of that. Kualoa Ranch's contractor then told the plumber that he didn't have to, that they would have Kualoa Ranch machine and do the trenching, and all the plumber had to do was come down and reattach the pipes, so the plumber wouldn't be liable for any digging that went on the property. So they told him on Wednesday, just come back later on in the day and we'll have all that digging done so you can reattach the pipes. And so Wednesday.
So that takes us to Wednesday, which, I mean, our Iwikupuna and the historic sites were pretty much in imminent danger. It was very clear to us that we had to do something about it. And that pretty much leads us to the Wednesday the 17th at about 5 a.m. woke up. So we headed to Hakipu'u and we decided that we had to make a stand. And that is where we blocked the road with our bodies so that no further digging or machine construction could happen on the aina. It was me and myself, Kolea Fukumitsu, and one of our community members, Ian Masterson. And we were arrested on the aina because the landowner needed to do construction at that specific time. And we did speak with him while we were there. And he didn't want to make, you know, any kind of stoppage at that time. He was very moved to get in there at that specific time.
Yeah, it was an hour mediation with the police officers that Kualoa Ranch had called. We did explain, like, there is no any permitting whatsoever on that site, and that's why we were trying to explain, like, there's no permits to do anything, because NHLC had also sent an email and called us and said Native Hawaiian Legal Counsel looked into the permitting and there is no permitting. The SMA that we had been under the impression that the work was being done under was actually revoked in January, and every other building permit was denied because of historic sites. So there was no permitting for any of the work being done. We also know there was no permitting for grading or grubbing being done or trenching. So at that point, just the safety of the Iwikupuna, the safety of the historic sites, and then also just the safety of Hakipu'u's community and the aina just seemed imminent to like protect. And so when John Morgan just requested for the police to take care of it and remove the people that were in the road, Kola got arrested.
Ian got arrested. They put us in a SWAT car. They took us away and my family was there. So the police asked them to remove the lele that we had put behind us that we were sitting next to.
But then about 15 minutes after, because Kualoa Ranch had agreed they wouldn't do any more trenching or work, 15 minutes after Kola had been taken away in a cop car, me and my kids ended up, and whatever family was around, ended up having to block the road again because the plumber then came down to finish the trenching right after Kola was arrested. The police officer then at that point got involved and told the plumber he couldn't access the property because they had already made an agreement that they wouldn't do the plumbing.
In the mediation, it was sort of that everyone is saying, yeah, we'll work together. And we were saying there's, you know, lies being told. And it became clear to the police officer that Mr. Morgan is saying, oh, yeah, okay, no plumbing work today. But after we're arrested, a plumber comes down to do more plumbing work. And everyone was there as witness to see that, you know, it doesn't matter what we say or they say, like these kind of things still happen.
So that afternoon, more trenching was actually done later on in the afternoon by Kualoa Ranch to reconnect the waste sewer pipes to the cesspool that was collapsed. So they did go ahead and do more trenching after Kola was arrested. So on Thursday, we did request the kahea out to just family and Lahui because there was no way we could
Yeah, we couldn't
arrest it.
It was too easy for them to take two kanaka away. But if we had our lahui, it was protection.
Right.
And so by Friday, Regina and Leslie and some of the Barrow Council scheduled to come out for a SHPD site visit that went, we felt really well in the direction of protecting those sites, at least from any further work. Kualoa Ranch had also agreed that they wouldn't do work for 2 weeks. So that went up till July 2nd.
Yeah, so from June 18th to July 2nd.
Yeah. And then by that, after that SHPD site visit, we then had an emergency Zoom meeting for the site. Also seemed like it went really well about the need for an AIS or an AISP to be done before any further work continue, just for like the protection of those sites. It was a really good conversation. Yeah, I think
a good site visit. It was a good Zoom meeting. Everyone was kind of in the same accord, same understanding. And we were hoping to get more info on this, on, you know, time and place of investigation and for the AIS or AISP. We would like for it to be an AIS instead of the AIS plan, just because it would protect it a lot more, give us more protection of the sites and the places and the Iwi Kupuna.
One moment, hold on everyone. This is just a check-in, time check. I have two council members that I received word that they need to head out. Auli'i and
hi.
And who? Kali?
I have to leave at 2:30.
I have to leave right now.
Okay. All right. So
can we hear from Kamana'o regarding the Zoom? Because I opted out of the Zoom meeting because I wanted different eyes on this. I did go to the site visit, but I can stay on this meeting. I don't have to leave, but I would like to hear from Kamana'o maybe before he has to go.
Yes. Mahalo Auli'i.
Mahalo ya'o to'aka.
At this current point, anything moving forward, council members, we will not be able to ask questions. 1, 2, 3.
Ooh, okay, no quorum.
Yeah.
So once Kamana'o leaves, we cannot.
I'm going to lose. There's only going to be two of us left, that myself, by 2:30. So. Before that, to our Fukumitsu Ohana, as a follow-up, we can connect. Please take this down, 888-9582, and we can follow up after that. But go ahead. We'll just spend the next few minutes listening to this update coming out.
Sorry, can you say that number one more time?
888-9582.
Okay. So basically, the last week was a little bit stressful for all of us because the July 2nd date was coming up. And there actually hasn't been, you know, DPP didn't put a stop work order for the unpermitted work being done.
There is no official letter or statement from any departments forcing a stop work. So it would be almost based on what, you know, John Ranch would, you know, say or do. And they had said something, but for us, it's a little hard to believe. And so during 2 weeks, you know, we're there, we're on high alert, watching, making sure nothing happens. And we witnessed many Kualoa Ranch employees and delivery trucks and cars go up and down the road. And some of those, well, most of those Pulo Ranch trucks had materials on them. It looked like building materials, wood, there was PVC pipes, and we have a video and photo proof of them transporting these things up and down.
And there's a beginning of a deck being built, that they started working on a deck, so they didn't actually stop work like they had agreed to. So it was very stressful for our ohana and all the ohanas in Hakipu'u that were really worried July 2nd would come up and it would just be excavators down the road and digging, and we would have to, again, just stand in the road and block it, and that's all we can really do. By, I believe, July 2nd, there was a actual statement from the consulting firm that Kualoa Ranch has hired saying that they won't do work. That work would be on hold, but it didn't give a timeline as to how long work would be on hold. Or like what work would be on hold, or when, what would in, you know, be included when work started up again. I believe
Kualoa Ranch was starting. Can I say something real quick before?
Yeah.
Sorry, before we cannot say nothing. Aloha, by the way, to the Fukumitsu Ian and the Ohana there, and there's the ranch representatives as well. We had a good, I thought it was a positive, productive site visit. And I'm not sure, and Mana was there, me and Mana was there, Regina, Leslie were there, and I thought it was positive. But I do want to make the point that SHPTI has its specific legal kuleana, as do we, OIBC. And you know, I mentioned I'm very sympathetic to the bigger picture, but in this venue, there's only so much, I think that's what Hino was trying to say, there's only so much we can do. And so unless there's EV that are disturbed, or there's not much we can do, right? Is that right? You know, I mean, unless things change.
I think that to build on that more, when I say there's not much we can do, I'm not saying that we don't want to do something, but because we've done our best to kind of to stay in our lane, and to know how to properly utilize the system that works well, when we follow, when everybody's wearing their right hat and letting the machine work itself, by continuing to have this agendized and bringing your concerns. I think the next time I'll ask that we can agendize this. As your chair, I can do that. Agendize it earlier up in the meeting. So that way you can bring more of this out, but just know that, in terms of taking action, there are specific ways to take action, of which we may not be the one to do it, but we can be a catalyst to help those things along the road.
And on that point, I think we've tried to embrace that role of bringing people together and say, hey, and like I said, I told John before, right? On the record, I said, you know what? Talk story before you dig. That never happened, and we're here. We have two arrests, and that's, to me, that's very unfortunate. But moving forward, if we can get the parties to, because we cannot legally do a lot of things, but if we can kind of, like, you know, said catalyst, if we can bring people together and move forward, and I feel like we kind of were trying to do that, and I don't know what happened in the Zoom meeting after, but that's, I think we're going to run out of time, but I just wanted to acknowledge, you know, we're definitely sympathetic. I can speak for myself. I'm very sympathetic, but we can only do so much in our kuleana.
Mahalo, Kali. Malia?
Mahalo, Hina, Chair. I just wanted to let the Borough Council know I attached my a letter that I sent out to various agencies about these issues. I'm a professor of law and Hawaiian studies at UH Manoa, and I've been kind of following this closely and talking story with the Hakipu'u families down there. And I'm very concerned, you know, about the arrest of Kolea and Ian. And I feel, you know, as an attorney, when we look at maybe government inaction or You know, when the police don't understand Native Hawaiian rights, Native Hawaiians become criminalized because of that, and then the burden shifts to them to prove they're doing a Hawaiian practice. And so I know that the borough council is saying that their power is limited, but I would really like to encourage the borough council to formally put a letter out to the prosecutor's office to drop the charges against Kolea and Ian for the arrest, because they were doing they were exercising legitimate rights to protect Iwi Kupuna, you know, and that's their constitutional right under Article 12, Section 7. I'm really glad also that Chair Hina is going to agendize these issues, so there's certain action items that can take place, and especially because the threat is imminent, we've seen in prior borough council meetings where Mr. Morgan is saying he's not going to do any activity without consulting the borough, the lineal descendants, and without getting the requisite permits and getting SHPD concurrence and approval. Yet he's just gone forward and actually done stuff. So it's important that this becomes a part of the agenda and the borough council takes certain actions. And I believe in my letter, there are certain statutes, administrative rules that I've cited that can actually begin to levy penalties and fines against Mr. Morgan for destroying burials and taking out the Lo'i Terrace, which could have had some burials in there as well. So I think the borough council has more power than it might realize, you know, and it can help to make agencies act in a better way. So I want to encourage that.
I concur with you, Malia. Could you and I have a follow-up conversation?
Yes, yes.
888-9582.
888-9582. I'm going to run pretty soon. But if I could just give some closing mana'o real quick.
Yeah, coming out.
Hi, aloha. I guess to answer Kali's question, it'll be a really, really quick response because I got kicked off too. Because when we're in the conversation, then the chair spoke, and realizing that the Sunshine Law was up in question, I had to hop off as well. But that's it. Like one thing that for me personally, I'm lacking at, I would love to see this in next month's agenda. When it is agendized, is if there's pictures and maps of the grave locations, because not visiting there, I really have no context of what's happening over there, where the grave sites are at. I think that would really help if there was that type of a presentation. But also I'd like to kakoa what Malia had said in regard to drafting the letter. I do 100% agree with Kali. We gotta stay in our lane, because when we stay in our lane as Oahu Island Burial Council and we uphold the burial laws and rules, that's what gives us our powers. Once we begin to step outside of that, then it gets kind of rough. But they were doing their actions as recognized lineal descendants protecting a grave site. And that, I think, is something we can state in our letter to the prosecutor or to the judge. And we would not be stepping outside of our bounds by doing that. But with that said, I got to run, gang. So,
mahalo. Mahalo. Mahalo, kamana'o. Mahalo. Are both you and Mana exiting?
I'm still here.
Yeah, I need to leave shortly.
Yes.
Okay. I agree with Kamanao's idea of photographs, since I wasn't there. And it would, just as a suggestion, if at the next month's meeting you had a, what do you call it, Google Map, Google Earth photograph of the site showing, you know, you... today and last month, there are a lot of words tossed around. The gravesite, the mound, house. Today, there's a cesspool that flew. If you get a USGS or Google Map and just identify some of those features that we've been talking about so that Kamanao and I can kind of tie it all together into one big picture, understanding how these things work.
Why is that the first May... burial council meeting, I did a PowerPoint with all of that, the map with the graves, the also like an aerial shot of where the historic sites are located.
If it is agendized, so then we can bring the PowerPoint up and show
again
the council where it would be more specifically.
My apologies. I was at that meeting. I didn't remember seeing a aerial map of the site.
Yeah, it had the actual sites, the historic sites on the map, where they're located. But we could do that again at the next burial council meeting.
Great, okay. Great.
So being that we have two council members on their way out to exit the meeting, I would like to say that I do not want the fact that we're going to be, we're only going to be, two of us left or three of us left in the meeting, to diminish the importance of this issue. I echo what Kamanao said. I completely concur with Malia that depending on how we handle our business and how we engage, we can be a very formidable and a very useful resource for the community, of which I completely support. We just now, this is where discussions get very nuanced. And as your current chair, I want every move that the council will do in the effort to support Malama Ivi Kupuna, that we be very calculated and be very informed and be exceedingly wise in how we do it. So that way we don't just look at the short-term outcome, but we also look at preserving the strength of our ability to do what we would need to do. With that said, I know I'm set to follow up with Kolea Ma and Malia. And I just have confirmed that this will be agendized immediately after the Kauaiahao issue for the next meeting.
And then can I just ask, Regina, are you still on? I just had some questions regarding the investigation, the formal investigation and the AISP.
Yep, I'm still on. This is Regina.
Would the formal investigation also include the Noholoa'a ancestral burial site that was destroyed back in September?
Yeah.
Or will that just be specifically for the 49-51 Johnson Road site?
I hadn't considered whether we should put the two together. I think that would be reasonable. That way we can accomplish both in one site visit with DoCare. I'll put that on an email to DoCare, and we'll get that scheduled for the next week or so. Both of them, the one at Noholoa'a and also at 49-051 Johnson.
Okay, and then the AISP would be then kind of slowed down, right, on hold until the investigation and research was done, so you guys could make an official, like, recommendation on what needed to be done, like an AIS or an AISP. Would that be correct? Like, I'm not sure. Would the Archaeological Inventory Service survey plan take place while the investigation is taking place? Or does that be kind of like set on hold until the investigation is concluded?
Aloha, this is Regina. I think what we'll do is proceed with the investigation first and wait on the AISP. We need to gather more information geared towards an investigation before moving forward with an AISP.
So, hello, this is Susan. So I'll just add to that. So yes, we first off, Shifty has received approval to do the site visit, even though we're in our shutdown with COVID-19. We will continue with the investigation, but we will probably start the discussion about the AISP even while the investigation is ongoing, because the time it takes to conclude an investigation through the entire process of actually conducting the investigation, having the reports generated, and then going to the next step, which would be the Board of Land and Natural Resources. We will want to start the AISP probably before all of that's concluded, but we will look to have all of the information gathered through the DOCARE investigation to feed into the AISP. And the AISP is not intended to replace an AIS. It's to a document to guide how the AIS would be conducted. So the purpose there is to gather as much information from this investigation, from what documentation we already have, further consultations to put that into developing the AISP. So there will be overlap between the two in terms of them occurring, somewhat overlapping.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we were just worried about that. If the AISP is done and the Lo'i terraces are now gone, do they just get erased from the history of Hakipu'u? Which we really didn't want to see that happen.
Yeah, we would rather have a solid AIS and then the BPP or the burial preservation plan or treatment plan. But if you're saying the AISP is the equivalent of an AIS, then...
No, they're saying it's done.
No, it's the document that's going to say how the AIS is going to be done. Mm-hmm. It's going to say, are we going to do a surface survey only? Are we going to do a survey? And are we going to do some subsurface testing? We're going to use it to help decide what data to gather to then be able to produce a burial treatment plan, a preservation plan, and so forth.
Susan, does that process happen in consultation with the lineal descendants?
That's the whole purpose of requesting a AIS plan, is mm-hmm. to ensure that all the parties who have the opportunity to provide Mana'o about how they want this area documented, as opposed to that decision being made by an archaeological firm or being made simply by Shipti.
Wonderful. Critical.
And here, that, and therein lies the reason why I especially appreciate the level of discussion that we held earlier about this in terms of the role that the Shipti can play. They can choose to engage, of which I believe that we heard that they will engage you along the way, as well as the project proponent. The project proponent, as well as the archaeological firm, have every opportunity to do that. I do understand that the AIS is on its way. And as Dr. Lebo just stated, that the plan for the AIS is to help guide and lead that. At this time, let's see. Oh, okay. There's only Jock, myself, and Cully on board. I'm going to ask that the other updates, we'll need to receive that at our next meeting. Before we walk away from this conversation, there's a message from Mark Anthony Clement. He says, "Aloha, this is Mark from Senator Gil Revere's office. I am working with Council Member Suneoshi's office to push DPP to issue an order to the property owner to halt any work or earth moving activities until we can sort out what needs to be done, AIS, etc." That's what he says. You all can quickly check your chat in this forum before we excuse ourselves. But with that, I apologize to our Fukumitsu Ohana who have waited patiently, and everyone else who has come. I think that it would be best for us to not continue on, because I know that we've already reached the inadvertence and communications where we can receive the updates, but I know that the particular updates at hand, our council members will want to ask questions. So again, for the Fukumitsu Ohana and for Malia, I know that you have contact for me for us to have a follow-up discussion. And notwithstanding anything else, did I miss anything? Council members, Kali and Chuck?
Oh, looks good.
Okay.
So, short meeting for you.
Mahalo. Regina or Leslie?
Hey, all. This is Regina.
Yes. So, Regina, Leslie has indicated that she will agendize the Hakipu'u issue immediately after Kauaiaha'o. So, I look forward to that. Anything else, Regina?
No, I think we're going to move forward with contacting. Well, I've already contacted DoCare. So, I'll keep all parties apprised of the date that we arranged to go out on a site visit with Shibdi staff, DoCare, the Lineal and Cultural Descendants, the archaeological firm hired to do the AIS and AISP, and the landowner, because of course we'll need to have access to the property. So I'll keep everyone apprised of when that date will be.
Okay. And Kali, is Kali going to go? Kali, are you going on that?
Yeah, depending. I mean, I'm willing to. It does speak to the need to also have a Ko'olau Poko rep too, right? But yeah, I'm happy to go.
Yes. Maybe I'll join you. Mm-hmm. So
if then I don't like go there. Nah.
Do you guys have someone applying for the Ko'olau Poko seat to fill that? Like, have you guys had applications? I know that it's like open right now, so
you may wish to put forward someone that you could recommend for the moku, and ideally they are put forward by the governor's office and then confirmed by the Senate in open session. However, it is at the discretion of the governor and the power of his pen to be able to put someone in the seat. So that is a discussion that I'll wait and see what happens out of this this session, and we'll see if they are going to confirm anybody to it. I know we had put people forward, but if not, then we can follow up on it when we agendize this in the earlier part of the meeting.
Okay. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Okay. With that, everyone, I am very appreciative.
Hui.
Yes, yes.
Ine, ekala mai. Let me see. So I know you folks have lost quorum. Olipilikia, I know it happens. And I'm hoping that next month, Pahonu will be moved up on the agenda just a little. I am not looking for answers, not looking for actions today. I was looking for answers, particularly from Cultural Services Hawaii, as well as Keha Lenny Watson and Scott Ezer. They were here. So that's not going to happen today. But I would just like to know, I'm going to ask Leslie Iokea, if she could please post this picture that I sent her. Leslie, if you could do that. Because I want people to get a visual of what happened to these kupuna at Pa'onu. Why they were dug up from their graves. It was for a fucking swimming pool. So if you look at the wall where there's a black bag or whatever, where the steps are going down, they were found right in that area, where that wall is. And this was before, Kalamai, sorry about my language, but this was before this concrete was poured. When I discovered that two kupuna had been taken out of this area, ancient kupuna been taken out of their graves without anybody weighing in on anything. I mean, I was not a recognized descendant at that point, but I was the only one who came forward to Pule for the Kupuna, they did preserve in place, 12-year-old child, I think, the young child. They preserved him in place. And I had received assurances from Hal Hammack and Dave Scheidler before I left that property that any more Kupuna that would have been discovered or identified after this Kupuna, that they would be identified as previously identified and therefore they would be protected under those particular laws and rules. That didn't happen. And I found out about these two Kupuna that got dug up from their graves by chance. And when I did find out, immediately sent out emails and asking questions, what happened? How come nobody called me? How did this happen? And but this is why they were dug up. So this property owner could build a second pool on this property, okay? Goddamn swimming pool. And I had been approached by K. Haldane Watson to see if we could work together to figure out the best outcome for these Kupuna. So they had presented me with some options about reburial. And my original, and still my request, was to preserve these Kupuna in place. Nothing had been formed in that pool area yet, except some temporary walls that were there just for form. Nothing had been poured, no concrete. And I specifically asked Scott Easer, who's the planner for this project, if it would be possible to hold off on any kind of construction in that area until we made a decision, until we could come to a decision about what's going to happen with these two Iwi Kupuna who had been given the green light by the state of Hawaii, by Shifty, in lockstep with Culture Service of IE, Dave Scheidler, and Hal Hammack, who made the decision to identify them as inadvertent. And so their archaeologists took them out of the grave, two Kupuna in six separate bags, packages, and they were placed into the bottom drawer of a filing cabinet and left there. And by the time I was able to show up, about 6 months later, to go and pule for these Kupuna, there were two large baskets and four small baskets. And the two large baskets had black mold on them from sitting in this drawer in a construction trailer for 6 months. Nobody bothered to check on them, to malama them. So this is where my question earlier is what has to do with connecting to the Kupuna. You're gonna make these kind of incredibly huge decisions to impact Kupuna. Then you better check in with them first. And you better awamo that kuleana. You don't just dig them out of the ground and put them in the bottom of a filing cabinet and forget about them. And then you don't come to me and ask me to help you figure out the solution and then cut me off. Cut me off at the pass and go and pour the freaking concrete in that swimming pool so that we cannot put the Kupuna back now. We just can't do it. So all kinds of promises were made, all kinds of promises were broken. The decision to take this Kupuna out was made in a vacuum. And everybody who was in on that decision knew I came forward for that Kupuna, that first Kupuna that was preserved in place. And nobody bothered to call me, email me, nothing. To let me know this was happening with two more Kupuna that should have never been removed from their graves. All so they could build a fucking swimming pool on an oceanfront property. So I got a couple things to ask of Regina or Leslie. So the next time you agendize this item, please identify it in addition to the crazy freaking name they gave this place, which is Waimanalo Paradise Subdivision, which is just a made up freaking name to include the word Pahonu. So that in the future, because I never knew this was Pahonu until I heard it at a borough council meeting. Dave Schuyler was making a presentation. My ears perked up. I raised my children in this area. So please add that. Put Pahonu, because there is actually a sign from the previous property owner that says Pahonu before you drive into that property. So please clearly identify these properties by their names, by their rightful names, not made up crazy names like Waimanalo Paradise Subdivision. There's no such thing. There's no subdivisions in Waimanalo. So Kalamai, sorry, I've been waiting a long time to just kind of get some of this out. Thank you for listening. But you guys look at this picture and you tell me if that was worth the of Tukupuna being removed from their grave. And I will tell you to the last breath, no, never, never. So Heva, all the way around, from the guys who made the first decision to the guys who poured this freaking concrete. Heva. So maybe next month I can calm down a little bit and ask some real questions of the people who were involved in making this decision. It was a terrible decision. Terrible decision. Mahalo.
Aloha, this is Regina. I just want to take a moment to respond to Kala'i. Mahalo, Kala'i. I hear you. And I hear your concerns. And, you know, I do want to say that anytime a decision is made or anytime Iwikupuna is encountered and I'm the one that has to respond to it, I never make decisions in a vacuum. I consider the welfare and permanent well-being of the Kupuna first before any decision comes across my mind. Aipule, first of all, if Iwikupuna are encountered and they're partially exposed or they have been previously disturbed, I mihi honestly, and sometimes tears come, and I'm not a terribly emotional person. So I do take steps to communicate with the Kupuna to let them know how sorry I am on behalf of how they've been encountered. And now is the time to take care of them. So I don't make those decisions in a vacuum. I think with regard to this project, if everyone on this meeting recalls, I said earlier, I'm at about a 75% notification rate where I'm usually 100% when it comes to Iwikupuna and inadvertent discoveries. This was definitely one that I failed to notify all parties about and seek consultation before making a decision. What I was told when I was out on site was that the area was going to be used for some kind of septic system or something related to the pool that was going to be nearby. And I didn't think that that was appropriate. I don't think keeping Kupuna in a situation where they're adjacent to a leach field or a septic system is ever acceptable. And in most cases, I try to ask the project proponents if they can redesign. In this case, I don't believe I did ask for redesign. So what happened was I authorized additional exploratory work to determine if there are more Kupuna in the footprint of that area, and then also after the exploratory work, then recovery and temporary curation into the on-site facility, which I thought was climate controlled. I found out subsequent to that was not the case. So I just want to put it out there that I don't ever make these decisions in a vacuum or their spur of the moment. They're not. They're made with meaning. They're made with intent. And I apologize if in this case, because you were not notified, it wasn't until much later that I found out about what agreements, I suppose, had been made with regard to notifying you. And, you know, when I found that out, that's when I called you. And subsequent to that, you know, you and I had one discussion about this. I am so incredibly busy having to mitigate effects to Ivikupuna all over this Pai Aina, and also subsequently be responsible for some cases on other islands where perhaps staff cannot get in touch with our history and culture branch members. And because people know, they can pick up the phone and call me and I'll usually answer right away, I end up with phone calls, not only for history and culture stuff, but sometimes even for architecture stuff as well. So with regard to this one, I mean, the decision was made to relocate them. I think the where they are and where they are Moiloa right now is the closest that we could possibly get them without them being further impacted. And right now they're Moiloa, and that is the best possible outcome that we could ask for. Oia valeno.
Hey, mahalo nui for sharing that, Regina. I don't mean for you to bear the brunt of this kuleana and what happened. Dave Schuyler knew I came forward. Hal Hammack knew I came forward. They got my email, you know.
I will say that I will take the full brunt for this, because it should have been me that contacted you, and it should have been me that reached out to you and let you know, and it didn't happen.
I did not let OHA know.
I didn't even let the OIBC members know until I think it was like March or something. So it was completely my fault. I dropped the ball. The buck stops with me. It doesn't stop with David Schuyler. It doesn't stop with Hal Hammett. It was my kuleana and I did not fulfill it.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you saying that. So the buck doesn't stop with them. The buck actually started with them, okay? Because they told me something that ended up not being true, you know. Same thing like how John Morgan told Ohana, oh yeah, we're not gonna do this and not gonna do that. And before you know it, these machines are out, right? So this is what Dave Schuyler and Hal Hammack did to me. Yeah, so I blame them first and foremost for making that decision. And because a leach field is planned or a pool is planned or whatever is planned, that's not an excuse to take Kupuna out, redesign the freaking thing or get rid of it. These people who own this property, they got money. They paid millions of dollars for this property. So, but they were not willing to do it. Whoever was in on that decision was not willing to do it. They knew that if they moved that pool up further towards the Makapu'u side, they'd have to go through a whole nother thing of finding out there's kupuna in the ground. High chance of that happening, okay? And then, so the other part was, these kupuna, I said, how come they didn't find them the first time? Because they were under an existing tennis court foundation. So I said, well, once that foundation was removed, you never think for a good check and test and see if I've got any kupuna there. No answer whatsoever. Okay, so there's enough blame to go all around the world 40 times. This is not about blaming. This is about preventing something like this from happening again, ever again. One kupuna desecrated is too much. You know, and we got hundreds of kupuna that are desecrated every day in our homeland. We got 700 of them sitting in the basement of Kauaiha'o Church because Hal Hammack decided that he was going to make some money off of this, yeah? So that's unacceptable to me. Today, tomorrow, forever. Yeah, you don't get to make money off our kupuna. You don't get to dig them up because you want a goddamn swimming pool on an oceanfront property. I got no sympathy for anybody that does that kind of stuff. Nothing. No, no. So I appreciate your mana'o, Regina, mahala nui. I know that you try your best to do your best. And I appreciate the work that you do. And I appreciate the fact that you are probably so overly burdened with kuleana and hana, and I know you understand what I'm talking about. So I accept everything you just said. What I do say is, for me, I exist to make sure this doesn't happen again. That's why I come forward. This is not supposed to be happening. Not in today's world. Not when we went through the worst horrors at Mokapu, at Honokahua, at Kauaiha'o, now in Maui, yeah, all over the place, or Kupuna, somehow. It's okay to sacrifice them for the sake of buildings and cesspools and swimming pools. It's not okay. It's not okay. I will say that till I have the last breath in my body to say it. But you look you look at this pool. And whoever's going to swim in that pool, good luck to you. Because this is exactly what we were trying to prevent. We don't want anybody getting hurt on this property. But how are you gonna make that up to the kupuna? Yeah, they're Moiloa now, but they should have never been disturbed from their original Moiloa. Never, never. So I want to have some assurances that this is not going to happen again on this property. If it does, oh my God, heaven help us all. I mean, this is not porno. This is just not acceptable. Thank you for letting me rant. Kalamai.
Mahalo, mahalo. Mahalo to Regina for saying the things that you have said, and mahalo to Kala'i for continuing to be vigilant. What more can I say to that?
Hina, it's Kehau. Do you want me to say something?
Aloha, Kehau.
Hi.
Would you like to say anything?
Sure. So first, you know, Kala'i, I want you to know we've all heard you. I want to be clear that we're not the archaeologist in this situation. And I would never, just out of professional courtesy, second guess or criticize decisions made by other firms. I think that's just not appropriate. By the time I became involved, the kupuna were already out of the ground. And Kala'i is absolutely right. When we finally were able to get into the locked cabinet, which was climate controlled, there was air conditioning in the room.
It's 3 o'clock.
Part of the issue was, and again, not second guessing that decision, she is absolutely right, they had been separated. They had been placed in the cabinet while wet, which is what contributed to a situation Evie should never be in. It is certainly not our protocols to ever treat Evie that way. So we did, and also Kala'i, remember, Kala'i asked us to hire cultural monitors. So Mana is working on the project. Mana and I both came upon the condition of the Evie in the container at the same time. We immediately rewrapped them. And so she's absolutely right. That was not conditioned they should be in. And I think everybody regrets that. And I hope sincerely that everybody learns from that situation that we need to be mindful anytime there's Evie in consideration. There was extensive efforts to find a solution. And I will just say personally, as a Hawaiian who owns an archaeology firm, our preference is always preservation in place, always. We always ask for a redesign if it is possible. I am not sure why that didn't happen here. And I, while I appreciate Regina, you know, Regina's comments, I also want to say that we always try to inform Regina or Shifty or whoever we're engaging with if there have been individuals involved. So I would like to encourage all archaeology firms to take that sort of initiative upon themselves, because we really do have a great deal of discretion in what happens in these situations. Inadvertent or not, it is at least our practice that we always try to work with immediate practitioners from the area and community, always. So in this particular case, we went back through the original minutes, and there, in addition to Kala'i who came forward, there were also cultural practitioners from that immediate area who the OIBC had encouraged the team to reach out to and work with. So when the decision was made to reinterior, and I understand Kala'i, it was not what you wanted, but I agree with Regina, it was being that they had already been removed and taking into consideration all of the input you provided us, there was, as Regina said, they were reinterred as closely as possible. And I want everybody to know there were multiple practitioners from the community there when we did it. It was led by practitioners from Waimanalo, as is consistent from the traditions of that ili. And we continue to work with the practitioners of Waimanalo on this effort. So there are numerous practitioners now engaged, whereas there were not before. So again, Kalai, I know how much this situation has hurt you. I cannot speak for other firms, but I assure you that wherever we can insert ourselves and advocate, we would always advocate for preservation in place first. And so going forward, both you and Kiala, in the event of additional discoveries, you will be notified, you will be consulted with. We will absolutely see if preservation in place can be achieved. And I just wanted to let everybody know that. Mahalo.
Yeah, so I just want to say something, Kehau. Do not ever assume you know how I feel. Don't ever do that. Never assume how I feel regarding this issue, okay? You came to me. I didn't come to you. You and Scott both approached me so we could work out a plan, yeah? And as soon as I insisted that we at least look at the possibility of redesigning that freaking pool so we could put the cupuna back, everything got cut off, cut off. So fabulous, you got cultural practitioners from Waimanalo. Awesome, awesome. But you know what? Where were they? Where were they when the first kupuna was reburied? Huh? Where were they? Nobody came, nobody came. I came, because you know why? I have personal connections to that aina over there. I taught my children how to swim in Pahonu. I lived there. My son still lives there. Yeah? And his family goes back generations. So don't make assumptions, Kehau. You cut me out. You and Scott both cut me out. You decided to go look for your own practitioners. Right on. And no, the Moiloa part, yeah, that's the best you could do for them. No, that's not the best you could do for them. Could have put them back where they belong, and you could have, whoever's going to design or redesign, get rid of that freaking pool, because they should never have been taken out. And I know that's not your kuleana, but the after part, that's your kuleana. Yeah. And don't act like you noticed the mold on the baskets, because when I was there, you never even warned me before I went to go in there to pull it for them, that baskets were full of mold. So don't try to act like you're the good guy here, because you're not. You're not. You're just as heavy as Dave Scheidler and now Hammack, as far as I'm concerned. You and Scott both. Yeah? So I'm going to trust you as far as I can spit. Yeah? But I got to consult with you, girl. You better be ready. You better be ready, because this is not going to happen again if I can help it. So don't act like, oh, we got to do this and we got to do that and we never ever do this and we never ever do that, because you're full of crap. Full of crap.
So I'd like to respond to that. One, I disagree that we cut off consultation at that point. I think there were numerous renderings shown to you. There was numerous, like, weeks of back and forth discussion with the cultural monitor you asked the project to hire, who is still on board and regularly consulting on the project. As to the mold, I can assure you, and I believe others were there, you found out when we did, because again, we're not the archaeologists on site, so that file cabinet had not been opened. So I understand the sentiments. I disagree as to some of the facts. It nonetheless doesn't change the fact that we will consult with you going forward. And I don't think it was we went out and found our own practitioners. Again, I think these were people that were recommended by the OIBC to be engaged. And personally, as a Hawaiian, I don't believe somebody should have to be formally recognized as a descendant to be consulted or engage on a project. I mean, my hope is that practitioners from the area would always be welcomed to be part of the effort. And I think that's what we've achieved.
Once again, you're full of crap.
Could I interject something here?
Go ahead, Chuck.
I am completely at a loss as to who the actors are. Kehau, who are you with?
So I own my own archaeology company, Honua Consulting, and we were brought in by HHF Planners, by Scott Ezer, to help, because I think there was recognition that there was some, perhaps, you know, there were issues related to the EV that needed to be better addressed.
So the original archaeologist was Hal Hammett and David Scheidler?
And they are still the archaeologists on the project. That is correct.
So why would you be called in?
Because I think, again, there had been certain cultural practitioners were not particularly engaged on the project. So I think the idea was, how could we sort of, and also, like, for example, Mana was brought in. So again, I think, and again, without second guessing anything, there were some concerns about how some of the burial issues had been handled.
Yes, we learned that last month. Last month, I thought David Scheidler was still the man in charge, as it were. Yes,
he absolutely is.
Okay. And Scott Easer was a planner? He and AHF?
Yes.
They were doing the governmental approvals?
They were doing some of the planning work for the seawall.
Okay, the last thing I just want to state is I remember this issue coming up a year, maybe 2 years ago, and the issue of local practitioners came up. I guess it was probably Dave Scheidler who was presenting to the OIBC, and many people on the council asked him, well, who are you going to consult with in the local community? And he didn't know of anybody, but we did mention to him that Waimanalo has a lot of local practitioners. And I guess that's probably where they became involved. But I'm really confused as to what's going on in this. And I hope next month that we get some answers so that we can all be on the same page. Thank
I don't
you.
Believe they were in the practitioners were involved at that point.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't.
They were not. I really do think it takes the archaeology firm extending the invitation for practitioners to engage in a meaningful way. And
Let me clear that up about the culture practitioners, because Dave Scheidler made a statement at the OIBC meeting saying they had reached out to culture practitioners. The only practitioner, the only resident of Waimanalo that responded regarding the preservation of face of the first kupuna was Kalani Kalima. And he supported the preservation in place. Nobody else responded. Nobody else came forward. I just happened to be at that meeting when they were talking about it, and I heard Pahonu, and I knew, I know this property. And that's when I asked if I could attend the burial before they covered up that kupuna. Could I be there to pule for this kupuna? And I went. That's how I got involved, because I happened to hear Pahonu, okay? So culture practitioners they did a reach out to Waimanalo, except they went the wrong direction. They should have went towards Makapu'u. Maybe you would have found my son and his ohana over there, yeah? He could tell you the whole story. My ex-husband could tell you the whole story. Father-in-law was a fisherman there all his life, born and raised over there, as was his father and his grandfather and his grandfather's grandfather. So you don't know what you're talking about, Kehao. Don't say nothing, because you wasn't at that meeting. I was. I heard it with my own ears. Cultural practitioners from Waimanalo, families from Waimanalo were notified. Kalani Kalima was the only one that came forward. And I know that boy, not a boy, he's a man. I like him. I like what he does. And I'm grateful that at least he came forward to say, yes, I kako'o the preservation of this kupuna in place. And don't tell anybody you never cut me off, because you did. You did. With the most important part came to reburying the kupuna. I didn't even know about it until later, weeks down the road. You never think that I wanted to be there when they buried that kupuna after talking to you and Scott for weeks. And getting all kind of assurances that you're going to do your best to do your best. When you didn't do jack shit to try to preserve those kupuna in place. Nothing. So I don't want to hear your excuses. I wish I didn't even have to ever talk to you again, to be honest. But if I got to consult with somebody and you're the person, be ready.
Kamuela, again, I do think part of it is, I think you could have handled the situation differently. To be totally honest, they were already out of the ground. And again, I say with.
I think you could have handled it differently since they were already out of the ground and the pool wasn't, nothing was poured in that pool yet. You didn't even try. You know what, you asked me my first priority, where I wanted those kupuna. Would I be okay if they were buried under a concrete slab that the swimming pool would be? And I was insulted by that offer. Because, I mean, how would you feel if somebody buried you and poured a freaking concrete slab over you and started swimming all over the damn place? That's not an option. The option was put the kupuna back, or get rid of it. That's always an option, especially with people that got money. These people got money. They paid millions of dollars for this aina. So, yeah. Don't say what I could have done better or anything. You do your own thing and you do it as best as you can. And that's still not going to be good enough.
So there was advocacy to redesign. And at that point, unfortunately, because it had happened months before, there couldn't be a redesign at that point. But I did try. So I would like that clear that there was a very strong effort to do exactly what you asked for, which is why.
Do it or don't do it. Don't try. There's no try. You either do it or you don't. Period. I'm out.
Aloha. This is Keala.
Aloha, Keala.
I kako'o kala'i 100%. Obviously, there has been many mistakes on this project, Regina. I, you know, owned up to that, and that's unfortunate. And but I wanted to also address the fact that Kala'i is correct that, you know, CSH, Hal Hammett, and Scheidler knew that Kala'i was an interested party in this Iwi Kupuna, and more effort should have been extended to invite her as part of one of the interested parties. I also want to address Kehao. Aloha, Kehao. And you made a comment about you don't believe you need to be a recognized descendant. That is to be involved in this process. And it's only true in the beginning of consultation, because the invitation goes out to all interested parties, which Kala'i was one. And but in the actual reinterment of Iwi Kupuna, what I do understand is that there were no recognized descendants at the time of reinterment. So I will be a little understanding in that, you know, Kala'i wasn't called out, but I still cannot agree to that. If you are going to invite cultural practitioners who are not recognized descendants, that the invitation should have been extended also to Kala'i, even though she wasn't a recognized descendant at the time. So there lacks consistency here. And so I understand the eha that Kala'i is communicating. So there's many mistakes on many levels here. But going forward now, if Iwi Kupuna are found on that property, the kanu or the reinterment is strictly for recognized descendants, nobody else. So I just wanted to make that clear. Ah, whew, mahalo.
Mahalo. I would like to acknowledge that again, this council will remain committed to doing all that we can in the format that we operate in. As someone who's come from grassroots efforts in the community and been amongst some of the very best who raise voices above and beyond yelling and screaming and standing in roadways and things like that. You know, there's all kinds of advocacy that can be done. There's all kinds of ways to address issues, problems. When it comes to burial issues, for as long as I continue to wear this hat as your chair, you know, I will always advocate for this council and our membership to to remain ever vigilant and committed in the process that we acknowledge. Why? Because for as much as some of us, including myself, may want to go beyond that to do other things, we have to be able to wear this role and empower it. And then everybody else in the larger schematic of things need to also see how to best apply themselves to the issues. And with that, you know, to you, Keala, and to other recognized descendants who come forward, it is through your advocacy that this council finds its strength. When community members rise in unison, guaranteed there's always going to be times where people are not in agreement with each other, but especially when there is great unison and great harmony amongst descendants, and this burial council gets behind that, that's when we really see our ability to harness the cumulative mana that is put forward to the table. But that's only maintained by us staying within our lane, extending ourselves as much as we can, and posturing in ways that will help to influence and sway decision making, but again, being very conscious about how we wield the name of the borough council. So I think today's sharing of situations and issues, Waimanalo and Hakipu'u, are two very very good reminders for this council, just how much we can continue to advocate and avail ourselves to the needs at hand. I would like us to consider, in addition, if Leslie is still on the line. Yes, she is. I see you. That we bump the Waimanalo out of the inadvertent and communications and put it up into the main agenda, right next to Hakipu'u. I think that there's... we may not have as much to discuss after this. I'm not quite sure. And I already know that with Waimanalo, it is without... It is beyond our purview, but...
But that never stopped you in the past.
Well, okay. You know what? Hold on. Definitely Hakipu'u, we will have that. And maybe just for the Waimanalo issue again, because Kalamai Leslie, we'll keep it at inadvertent, but let's put it at the top of the inadvertent. So in case there's anything else that needs to be discussed, that there is that opportunity.
Okay, yes, we'll do.
Mahalo, Hina. We'll put Waimanalo at the top of the inadvertent, and then because that is where it does belong right now. Let's see. Notwithstanding any other recognition coming forward for that, because I believe Keala was the only one that came forward.
Okay, you know, will do. I'll do that right now. Mahalo.
Yeah. Mahalo nui. Okay. Well, before I get myself into hot water by saying things, because officially our meeting has ended a long time ago.
Expired already.
Ko Lauloa. Thank you, Ko Lauloa, for staying on so long. Mahalo nui.
Did he expire?
Yeah, Chucky expired already. But I'd like to appreciate, show appreciation to all of you for being on this meeting. Thank you, everyone, for being patient. Thank you to everyone who has contributed to the sharing heard on this meeting. And I look forward to our next meeting with all of you.
I'd like to extend a thanks to Regina for all she has done. I know it's tough, but she's doing a good job. Thank you, Regina, if you're still on the line. No, I guess she's not on.
No, she did excuse herself. She messaged me.
Oh, well, Leslie can pass it on.
I was just going to say I'll pass it on to her.
Thank you. Check.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, everyone, there is no formal adjournment as we have lost quorum already. So take care, everyone. Mahalo no ke yohui ana, mahalo ni aoko, no ko ko na manui. Hui ho kako, aloha.
Mahalo.
Aloha, take care, everyone. See you soon.
Mahalo. Veran chag.
Mahalo, a hui ho.
Aloha.
Aloha, mahalo.
Aloha.
Aloha.